At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You are listening to the Hirschsprungs Hour on UK Health Radio, where I interview incredible people with a connection to Hirschsprungs disease and other associated conditions, such as IBD, IBS, Crohn's, colitis, and ulcerative colitis. Each week, I bring you a new and exciting interview with people from all walks of life, including charity founders, models, and professional sports people. We go through the ups and downs of having Hirschsprungs with a positive message throughout.
Hello, and welcome to episode 40 of Tom's Hirschsprungs podcast. A very special guest with me today, somebody who I've wanted on for a long, long time. I think I messaged you first back in January, but you were busy having a baby. So you are excused, so that's fine. But welcome to the podcast, Rachel.
Hello, hello. Well done on your number 40, by the way. Well done.
Thank you.
Impressive.
Thank you. It's nothing without the guests, I'll be honest. I need guests to survive. Otherwise, I cannot do it. I did one episode on my own. It's about 8 minutes of me just rambling on about various things. So I need guests like yourself. Otherwise, I struggle. But thank you so, so much for coming on. And as I mentioned as well at the start, he was somebody who I really wanted on, because you are not only a person with Hirschsprungs, or mum with Hirschsprungs, but you are a mum to 2 boys with Hirschsprungs as well. So you're in a very, very unique position. And I think it'd be great to get your perspective on things and story as well. I'd like to start, well, if I may, from the beginning, from when you were first diagnosed with Hirschsprungs. Were you diagnosed from birth?
Yeah. So the same as me and the 2 kids. So my parents, there was no like history of it. They didn't have a clue what it was. And the classic signs of tummy distending, vomiting, bile and waste, no pooing anywhere. That all the red flags were going, and a rectal biopsy confirmed it. And yeah.
And have Hirschsprungs.
Yeah. Woohoo.
Lovely.
No one wants, but gets anyway.
Yeah. You're the 1 in 5,000.
Yay. Yeah.
We'll be lucky for that sense.
Yeah.
But it's the same way, the rectal biopsy is the same way now as it was back then, again, because I know we were talking a little bit off air that we're near enough the same age. So we'd have had very similar in terms of care and diagnosis at that age. But you've obviously gone through the same as a parent as well. So is it exactly the same way that they diagnose Hirschsprungs now back then?
So, I mean, I can only talk about our experiences, but yet with my 2 boys, it was rectal biopsies that confirmed it. So they presented with the same symptoms as me. So the 3 of us all have total colonic Hirschsprungs. So it's all through the colon and part of the small intestine. So the most severe of the 4 types of Hirschsprungs you could be born with. The signs were clear from when we were all born. I mean, it was a bit different with my youngest. So the baby is nearly six months old now. So with him, the treatment had kind of changed from when I had my 8-year-old, in that they were trying bowel washouts for a bit longer this time round, because he wasn't as poorly as my eldest and as I was. So I think they tried the bowel washouts for about a week or so. We thought he would get by, but then he kind of, you know, it peaks and troughs, doesn't it? And he was all right, but then he dipped again, and they were like, you know what, no, rectal biopsy, he might need a stoma. So he ended up the same as me and my eldest anyway. But yeah, all with the most severe of it. I mean, it's more common in boys than girls, isn't it, statistically? So because I had it and I was a girl, in my head, I was thinking, oh, I hope I have girls because then maybe they won't get it. But yeah, got two boys. I always tell everyone, I need a third just to see if it's a curse. Like, surely if I had a third kid, it would not happen again. Like, it's so tempting just to be like, I need to prove this to the world that it...
Just keep going until you finally prove it.
I know. Surely, like, that's not all I'm good for. It's ridiculous.
When you've had about 9, 10 children, then finally proved, then we'll know, won't we?
Can you imagine? All four, all with Hirschsprungs. Oh my god!
Yeah. But so you were born with total colonic Hirschsprungs. So have you had a stoma for the whole time from then?
No. So yeah, I had stoma surgery at about a week old. And then when I was 2.5, my parents elected to have it reversed, which is what's offered to all parents if it's possible. And one thing that surgeons have always told me is stomas are never, you know, it's not what you want. It's not something you should be choosing to have if you can live without it, which is hard to hear, really, because in my case, I had it reversed. But my childhood, I don't know what yours was like, but I was poorly all the time, tummy bugs all the time, susceptible to God knows what, off with like DMV all the time, popping Imodium like they were Smarties. I mean, my God, like my parents must have financed the production of Imodium in Wales. If they did anything, I don't know, but the amount I took, I don't know how I'm not brain damaged or something, but anyway. I just wasn't well. And then I'd have probably 1 week out every half term off school. And growing up as a kid and then through puberty and that, it's not the best. It's not great. And then fast forward to when I got pregnant with my eldest when I was 26. I was quite well when pregnant, but then I got poorly not long after. I had severe rectal pains. It'd be debilitating. I had 2 surgeries of Botox injections, which I don't know if any of your previous guests have had, but they were saying, oh, you know, we can treat it by having Botox so that it can numb the area, because they didn't know if it was tears, fistulas or scar tissue in the rectum, because the disease is in the rectum as well. But in the end, I got to the age of 30 and it was in the start of COVID, actually. And I couldn't go on any longer. The NHS wouldn't do anything else with me. And I just wanted a stoma because I thought, I can't live like this anymore. My only option is to have a stoma. But the surgeons would not go near me. They were like, no, you've had too much surgery. You're too much of a risk. So I ended up paying for a private consultation, £250. And I just sat in front of a surgeon and I just begged him. And I said, please, I'm not living. I can't be a parent to my kid. I'm in pain walking. I just need you to help me. And he said, yeah, I'll do you a stoma and I'll put you on my NHS list. And it was like, I'm not a religious person, but it was like someone was just looking down on me that day. It was like, that is the best £250 I've ever spent, you know, just to, and I wanted that stoma so bad. Like, yeah, it's not what we all dreamed of, but the way I was, I just was desperate to have it. And I've had it ever since, and I'm 35 now, and I've had another baby, and touch wood, I'm all good. You know, not everyone ends up having a stoma, do they, with Hirschsprungs, but for me and for the kids so far, we wouldn't be here without it. We needed it.
Fantastic. Now, thank you so much for sharing. And on your second pregnancy, I want to talk about something you did on Instagram, which was called the Pregnancy Diaries. What made you think, actually, I really want to share this journey with everybody?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Well, I mean, the main thing is, like, that's why I really admire what you're doing, because when you type in stomas on social media, which is the main reason why most people do it, is because they want to connect with people, don't they? They want to, in everyday life, like, I don't know about you, but I don't know anyone else with Hirschsprungs that I've ever come into contact with off of social media. I've never met anyone with it or that has even heard of it, even. So you go on there, you type it in, you type in stomas, and it's flooded with IBD.
Yep.
And some of my closest friends have IBD, and I love them to death. But they don't have Hirschsprungs, and you just think, you know, like as soon, like I hadn't met you at all. We jumped on this call, and straight away the banter's in. I'm like, oh, Tom, yes, you've got the same as me. This is brilliant. Right, you're one of my people now. And it's just that sense of, you know, like belonging, isn't it? Like you get it. I don't even have to explain to you. You just get it. And that's why I wanted to share the pregnancy diaries, because there's not much at all on it. And even more so about having a stoma whilst being pregnant with it, having a baby, which is probably going to be born with it. I mean, it's just, like you said, it's a unique situation. So it's never going to gather a gazillion views, but that's not why I do it. It's because I know there might be one person out there that's feeling like I did, feeling alone, feeling like they don't know anyone that's in the same situation. And I'm sure that's partly why you do this as well. You just want to help people, don't you? Because you don't want them to go through what our parents did and what we felt.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And that was one of the main reasons I really, really wanted you on as a guest, because I knew that we'd come at things from the same perspective, that we just want to help people. And you said as well, see, you have Hirschsprungs, a stoma, and were pregnant at the same time, trying to type that into Google and for it to come up with any kind of result that you would want. If you type in pregnancy with stoma, with Hirschsprungs, etc., etc., I can't imagine you got very many results that you were particularly useful.
And you know, I'm not going to earn a living posting this stuff, but it's important, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but I spend a lot of time in the dark days. I think, why have I been given this? Why have my two children been given this? What is the reason? And I'm always trying to find reasons. And I'm not saying that's healthy, but that is how my mind works sometimes. It's a coping mechanism, isn't it, for when things are hard. And I just think, well, the only thing I can think of that isn't negative is that it must be to help people. That must be why. I mean, I have a voice. I have experience. I'm in a unique position. You're the same. Look at what you're doing with this right now. You know, you're doing what you can with the tools you've been given to help people. And that's just what I'm trying to do as well. And that's all we can do, isn't it?
I think so. And I'm sure you probably get similar messages to me from people. I usually get at least a couple a week from people, even if they just wanted to say, hi, I'm listening to the podcast. You know, thanks for doing it, or whatever. Or whether they come and say, actually, I've had Hirschsprungs for ages, and you know, I'm never going to give medical advice. That's one of the big things. I'll never say, well, you should do this or you should do that. But it's more coming at it from people's experiences. And now, I think after today's episode, there'll be 23 separate Hirschsprungs stories from all over the world, from all walks of life. Different jobs, different backgrounds, different stories, and that's really just the whole point. So that hopefully, you know, somewhere somebody is born with Hirschsprungs, or you have a mother with a child with Hirschsprungs, they will hopefully know that there is somewhere where you can listen to them. And these are all positive stories as well. They have ups and downs, of course they do. Like all Hirschsprungs journey, I'm not going to do any kind of toxic positivity where we only talk about the nice stuff and, you know, we go through the ups and downs, but generally they are all positive, or they have, you know, large positives in them. And hopefully people can listen to this and take what they want out of them, you know, whether a lot of them are, you know, sort of sporting backgrounds or fitness backgrounds, because that's mainly what I'm into and that's easier for me to talk about. Or whether it's medical backgrounds or charity, whatever it might be, I hope people can take crumbs of comfort from them, because I think that's mainly why I set it up, really. But thank you so much for that. That's mainly why I want to set up, because again, as you said, our mums won't have had a podcast, you know, to listen to. I don't think podcasts were around then.
No, you need to get mums. Maybe we could do one of these with our mums, and then we'll see. Can you imagine them talking about their experience and what they went through? That would be mind-blowing, like, for them to, you know, talk that through. Because I wonder, like, I don't think my mum's ever spoken out about what she went through with me as a baby with Hirschsprungs all those years ago. As yours?
Nope, never. I obviously speak to her a lot because of the podcast, and she has been fantastic with providing me with my stories that I've shared on Instagram. Just done part two, which is mainly from sort of 9 years old onwards, and part one was on there before. But it's been fantastic with that. I'm sure she'd like to come on as a guest, but at the moment I've got loads of guests. It's great.
Man, Tom, you need to.
Oh, well, I need to just stop randomly messaging a lot of people, and then maybe I'll run out of guests. But at the moment, I'm loving it. It's fantastic.
I've got plenty.
So yeah, but no, I'm sure she will be on at some point. I'm not sure she's terribly keen to come on. She listens to every episode, so I know she will listen to this.
What's her name?
Nicola.
Nicola, you need to come on. The people want it. There you go.
Rachel has spoken, therefore, you know, it should happen. But no, I don't. She listens to every episode. So thank you very much, Mum, for providing all of this information, actually, that I come with. But yes, she listens to all of mine. She listens to all of my brother's podcasts as well, because he started before I did. And his is about diabetes. So yeah, we've got medicine cornered in our family.
Yeah. Love the feeling.
But we got sidetracked. Back to you. Sorry, I got sidetracked.
Fine.
But so you talked a little bit about having your stoma. And did you have a stoma reversal as well?
Yeah. So I had a reverse when I was 2.5. And then I had another one when I was 30 at the start of lockdown. But then it didn't go very well. So I think the amount of surgeries I had as a kid, the scar tissue affected its placement and how well it would hold up. So I actually had to have it refashioned 5 weeks after. So yeah, this one is technically number 3. But yeah, so touch wood. I mean, pregnancy second time round was good. Afterwards, I've had no end of problems. It took me 4 months to stop having leaks multiple times a day, just where your skin is stretched so much and then it shrinks back, and the pH of your skin changes, so the way it reacts to adhesives and the bags themselves, it's a minefield. And again, you type all this in and not much comes up, especially not with pregnancy. And I see like a few people, and oh, I hate the word influencers, but you know, you see influencers, stomas and stuff, and like they've sprung back. You know, they look like they swallowed a grape and had a baby and sprung back, and their back is perfectly placed and they're having no issues. And I think, well, that's not me. I can't. That, you know, it's great for them, and that's their story. And I wish that was mine, but it wasn't. And I couldn't see anyone like me on there again, which is why I share. Like, I'm not the type of person to stand there in a bikini or in lingerie and, you know, say, you know, this is me. That's not comfortable for me. But I also know that it was important to share stuff because I couldn't find anything else like it. And there were several people I know that were pregnant at the same time that were having real bad issues postpartum with their stomas. And when you've got a baby, whether you're a first-time mum or not, you don't, you know, it's hard to find the time to, you know, just survive, let alone be looking up things and finding people and reaching out and connecting people. So I thought, right, when I can, I'm going to put things out there. So that's what I did. Yeah.
And that's what I really love about your Instagram as well, is it's so real and raw and really informative as well. So, I mean, you talk a lot about certainly the products that you use and could do for this and what you could do for that, especially for stomas. And that's where I first found you on Instagram. And I just love the fact that it wasn't like, don't say this, like overly polished, if you see what I mean. It was properly real.
Oh, it's not. No. Yeah, say it how it is, Tom. It is. It's
sorry. I didn't want to sound offensive, but like,
I'm just so brutal.
I don't like. It was real. It was like, this is happening, and this, and I love that.
There's no filters, put it that way. I haven't got time to swipe to find the filter that makes me look as young as possible with no bags under my eyes, put it that way. But it's like, I mean, there's a lot of people at the moment that are out promoting product, isn't there? And, you know, I work with Pelican and Respond, but I was doing stuff, writing blogs and doing posts, recommending them, the years before they even asked me to be an ambassador. And a few of us that started off before we were officially asked and things like that, you know, I think you can see that our stuff is real and it's raw and we're coming from a good place. And I'll always endorse things that I use that works. Like, for instance, I use Pelican bags, but my boys don't. And I'm very transparent about that. It's not about, you know, what brands you like and what looks the best. It's what works for you. You know, like those of you with a bag, you might have a bag by someone, a spray by another, and a seal by another. And, you know, that's okay. You need to use what's right for your body, not what's the in thing. If, you know, it's, I could talk about all that for hours, but, you know, that's not why we're here.
Oh, we can definitely touch on that, because you mentioned you are an ambassador of Pelican and Respond Limited as well. And you also work as an ambassador for Noah's Ark charity as well. How did, obviously you were promoting the products, certainly Pelican and Respond products. How did that sort of all come about? Were you just promoting and then one day they send you a message and say,
yeah,
I'm aboard?
Yes, so I had my own WordPress website going where I started blogging about being a parent. So I had my eldest. He was really poorly when he was born. The surgeon that he had at the time was retiring. He shouldn't have been practicing. He made a few mistakes and he suffered. My kid suffered for it, and he wasn't well at all. And I just felt like I was living life in and out of hospital. The longest stint was 12 weeks solid living in there by his hospital bed. And it was a very lonely place. And I thought, right, I need some outlet. I need to do something. So I just started blogging. And I was putting it out there. I started my Instagram page. I was just putting it out there and not expecting anything. And then, you know, like you said, start getting messages from people then saying, oh, you know, because I find with parents, like parents, when it comes to their children, they don't want to shout out from the rooftop about it. I find 9 times out of 10, they connect with me through direct message and they don't comment on my posts. And I was the same because, I don't show the kids' faces, for instance, because I'm quite protective in that way. And I would, you know, I back then I wouldn't have shared anything too personal or whatever, but I know people do and that's fine, but I didn't feel comfortable doing that. And yeah, it just kind of evolved really, because when I found when you have a baby with a stoma, the stoma changes so quickly because the growth is so rapid. Products and their needs change all the time. So you might have a bag that suits them for the first few months. You'll start getting leaks. You're trying to find another option. You start getting leaks. You're looking at seals. You start, you know, it's constant. It's relentless. Then they start weaning. That changes things. That changes the output. I mean, there's so many things that you don't have to consider as an adult with a stoma that you have to with a newborn and children. And so when I found things that worked, I'd share them because I'd want people to know about them, like our mums. I keep talking about our mums, God, but they won't have. My mum never would have known that there were other options. She never would have known, oh, well, doesn't matter what bag I use. Maybe I could try a seal. you know, it wouldn't have been possible, would it?
No. It was just, you use this and that's that.
Yeah, you get on with it. And you know, that kind of generation wouldn't have been the type to, you know, be like on the phone going, oh, you know, my mum wouldn't have wanted to complain. I know she's the type of person that would have been like, okay, I'll just carry on, it'll be fine. Whereas now, as soon as something's not right, I'm on the phone and I'm emailing and I'm messaging people going, have you experienced this? But that's where we're in a privileged position, that we've got this technology at our fingertips that, you know, if I'm out and about and I suddenly think, oh, I need to add something to the baby's order, I can just ping a message within seconds. I mean, how lucky are we that we can do that?
Yeah. No, couldn't do that in the 90s.
Nope.
But yeah. No.
Phones.
No, that it is. We are. And I think it's really good that we both use our sort of platform for good and for helping people. I think that's sort of our responsibility as such, to make sure that, you know, that people who are going through this, of which there are more than I realized. Certainly when I started this, I thought I'll try and do a show every 2 weeks and I'll see if I can find some Hirschsprungs people. And the amount of people I've found has just been enormous, way more than I ever thought would be possible. So I think that help is really, really important, even if it's just sharing stories, even if it's just, you know, sharing all this product works for me and, you know, maybe you should try it or whatever. Not necessarily handing out medical advice, but yeah, but just having that, as you mentioned before, that sense of community, I think is just really, really important. I'd love to as well talk about your ambassadorship with the Noah's Ark charity as well. I've seen in the summer you had a superhero run in June. Do you like to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, it was a nightmare.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
what? I stumbled in.
Because,
what have I done?
Because we stupidly thought the baby would love to be part of it. And we thought he would really sweetly be in the buggy, looking cute in his little Hulk outfit, while the 8-year-old's running along and my partner Luke's running along and I'm there with a buggy. We were like, oh, it's going to be a lovely day out. We're going to raise money. We're going to raise awareness. This is great. Cue the baby crying the whole time and me and Luke tag teaming, carrying him. And this baby, I mean, he is a very good size. Let's put it that way. He's on the 98th percentile, which if you talk that lingo in terms of babies, he's a good size. I mean, he's 19 like pounds. So he's, yeah. I mean, trying to keep up with an 8-year-old wanting to run a super dash, you know, the word super dash, you know, you can't be walking with this baby and we're like dying, looking at each other going, it was, yeah, I mean, lush day, but whew, yeah, it was hard work. It's not all glamorous, Tom, you know, but
no.
I didn't think it was glamorous. I will always say when it, you know, doesn't quite go to plan, but yes.
But was it, in terms of the charity itself, a success?
Yeah, they had a really good turnout. It was the best turnout they've ever had, and they do it every year. So it's in a big park in Cardiff, and loads of families just come together for the day. They do their, you know, you can walk it, run it, whatever. And it's just a really nice event. So the Noah's Ark is the charity that supports the Children's Hospital financially in Cardiff. So they fund equipment, resources, play specialists to distract the kids when they're having medical intervention. And without them, they, you know, the kids wouldn't be where they are today. So they very kindly asked me to be an ambassador when my eldest was about maybe one or two. And then, yeah, my partner now, Luke, he's just been made one as well. So whenever we can, we'll do, we'll, you know, volunteer our time. So we've done like coin bucket collections and stood on stalls and, you know, promoted the charity and that and little events with the kids. So yeah, it's, I would say, like, if anyone has children that are poorly, or even as adults, and your hospital runs events like that, it's actually a really good way of connecting with people that might have had similar experiences to you. I met a boy who was 19 with a stoma at the last one, and he gave me so much advice for my boys growing up. And if I hadn't have gone to that event, I never would have met him, And that was invaluable. And it's little connections like that that can be just worth their weight in gold at these events. So I would really encourage people to do them.
Absolutely. No, that's fantastic. I'd echo that as well. I mean, you never know who you might run into and who might give you, I found it doing this podcast. I mean, the things I've learned through just talking to people about their experiences has just been completely mind-blowing. Because I'll be honest, starting this podcast, I didn't know a lot about my condition. I mean, I'd had it for 30 years, but I didn't know, well, knowing now, I didn't know anything, really, about Hirschsprung's. And just finding people to talk to that can share incredible information, but just little nuggets of things that you think, oh, I didn't know that, or I didn't know that. And I think that's fantastic. Have you found this sort of working with Pelican and Respond as well, that you found people you know, similar things?
Yeah. So as far, I'm the only person that works with both of them that has Hirschsprung. So initially it was a bit of imposter syndrome, like, oh, am I meant to be here kind of thing? But then when you sit down and speak with these people, you realize that it, you know, having that one common entity in the stoma, a lot of these conditions overlap in terms of symptoms, the way it affects your everyday life, the mental challenges. And, you know, there are, you know, like that. So my one good friend, Pip, if I hadn't have been friends with her, I never would have, you know, met my partner, Luke, and we wouldn't have a baby now. Like, you know, it's just, yeah, it's, yeah, the friends I've made are friends for life, definitely. And when you're with these people and spend time in their company, like I always say it, like it heals me a little bit each time. Because then when you go back to your reality, you know, like your family and your friends, you can have the most supportive, wonderful people, but it's never going to be quite the same as people who just get it. Like, I don't know, how do you feel after these episodes when you're speaking to people? Like, what how do you come away feeling?
Mind blown most of the time. Honestly, the people I talk to and sharing things, and I have, obviously, I have my notes and I do my research and everything, so I'm prepared as possible. But what I love is those sort of off the cuff type comments when people say, oh, this happened to me and I did this or this, that, the other. And honestly, for every person I've interviewed, I've learned something. And I love that. Like, I mean, yeah, knowledge is power and et cetera, but I'm really glad I started it. I mean, I'll put it that way. I had no idea. I mean, 40 episodes, I didn't think I'd get to 10. No, I'm 40. And not all of them are Hirschsprung's. And I have spoken to a few people about that. And people saying, well, it could just be Hirschsprung's and it could just be this. But what I would say is that there are people with IBD, IBS, and yes, they're not the same as Hirschsprung's, but there's a lot of common symptoms.
Yeah.
Around those particular illnesses, Crohn's as well, colitis, ulcerative colitis. And the way they deal with things are often very similar to the way I deal with things. So even though, no, it's not the same, and yes, I could do an entirely Hirschsprung's-led podcast, but I don't think I would learn as much. And I think they have been really beneficial. There is still, I mean, after this podcast goes out, it will be 23 Hirschsprung's episodes and 17.
Incredible.
17 non-Hirschsprung's. So it's, I think I calculated the other day, it's about 60%, give or take. And it usually stays in and around there. But no, I mean, I've loved it. And I've loved just trying to, because what I wanted to do as well was just try and have a central place where you can have a lot of Hirschsprung stories. I know there are websites out there that have, I mean, Reach is one where they've got, I think, 8 Hirschsprung stories on there at the moment.
Just a lot, though, is it still? It's yeah, like, yeah, it's mad. But no.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't got mine on there, and I'm an ambassador. So,
oh, yeah, it's that.
I think we need to update the website.
Put it to all these people and celebrities and start chasing your paperwork, Tom.
I will do. Well, once I get the celebrities out of the way, you know.
Oh, yeah.
All these A-listers.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Les, no, I've loved it. Absolutely loved having it. And it's just led me to meet so many wonderful people. I think that's the other thing. Yes, we all have Hirschsprungs and what have you, but everybody's unique.
Yeah.
And that's what I love. You know, nobody's come on and gone, well, I've got Hirschsprungs, brilliant, end of podcast. You know, it's just like, well, I've had this, and then I had this particular procedure and that particular procedure and what have you. But yeah, no, I love it. And another question I have, which I've been asking to a lot of guests recently, and I'd love to ask it to you, because when I had my stone, I had something called a tegaderm that went...
I proper stalked you the other day when you reached out to me again, well, shamelessly. And yeah, I read about that. No, I haven't. You can't. You need to educate me. Go on.
No, nobody's heard of it. This again, when you're 9, when I had this done. So I had a stoma when I was born, then had it reversed, then had another stoma when I was 9, and then reversed at 23. But when I was 9, I had what was called a stopper. So if anybody hasn't seen this story, it is now up on my Instagram. I've done a part 2, which is kind of from me from 9 years of age onwards. So I had a stopper invention, and which basically kept the stoma open for bowel washouts. So if I didn't have like a stopper or something, then there was then it might have closed up or whatever, and then pushing the catheter through would have been trickier. And the tegaderm was there to place over the stopper to then try and keep it in place, but it never worked. So the stopper would just always ping out, and then I'd end up finding it all over living room floors and...
Oh, no.
You know. So, but I kept the tegaderms. So the tegaderm went over the sort of open stoma to sort of stop leaks and to basically keep it like away from infection, because it is effectively an open wound.
So you had a bag on though as well?
No, that's the thing. I never had a bag. So everybody I've ever spoken to with a stoma has bag. I didn't, because mine was an Ace Malone stone.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh,
so, I mean, so yeah, so everything was still functioning.
Yeah.
But 9 was an Ace Malone stoma. But I haven't met anybody else with an Ace Malone stone.
Gosh, so you're even rarer than the 1 of 5,000 then. What? Cool. You need to...
We are a bit rare.
Yeah.
Both of us.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, if you keep doing this, you must... Maybe one day you'll find someone else that had the same.
I think when I get to episode 100, if I haven't found anyone, I'll just give up.
Then you need to call the Book of Records. What is it? You need to ring them people and you need to say, I need a record, please. Thanks.
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely. I would like to touch on as well, because I'm well aware I'm running out of time. It's just gone so quickly. Your instructional videos as well on Instagram. I know you did post one, was it today or yesterday, about supplies, I think, for school. And you've done quite a few of them in what to pack and what to do. And Have those just come from ideas for you, or have they come from people asking you to do them?
A bit of both, but again, it's more of, for me, like a lot of things are trial and error when it's new to you. And I think, well, I could be saving someone time, and I could be, you know, and also I'm quite a visual person. So if I read something of what to do, yeah, that's great. But it also is valuable to me when I actually see something as well. So like for my son, for his TA in his class, I've done a step-by-step guide. And I talked about that in my video today. And I put stills of each step, what it should look like, what they should be doing. I've recorded a video that they can have as well. So yeah, I just like to do it in all different medias so that, you know, and like, so for instance, a family member who unfortunately got cancer and it affected their bowels, they had to have a stoma. And I just did loads of recording, and I did like a A4 page sheet, like it's almost like a dummy's guide to stoma life. And I just typed out everything and anything that could possibly happen, how to's, what to do, what to whatever. And I just think, again, I just feel like I know that's in me, and I just want to put it out there, because, you know, like that video, I don't know how well it's done. It's probably not done well at all, I'll be honest. It won't have, because it won't really relate to many people at all. But then I had a message today from a mum who said she's got a 4-month-old baby with a stoma, and she thanked me for my videos, and she said some really lovely things. And I thought, that, not that I needed it, but that's why I do it. And, you know, that'll be there. And if people want somewhere to go to for stuff like that, it's always there.
I love it. I love that kind of stuff. And in terms of views, it's got way more than anything I post. So,
bless you.
It's if I get those types of numbers,
we just need to start wearing bikinis. That's all there is. That's what the people want, unfortunately.
I think you're on your own.
I'm not doing it. You can.
Oh dear, yeah. I think I've lost the plot when that day comes.
God, sorry. I don't know. Yeah, I've probably taken this podcast to a dark place. You need to turn it around now for the end.
Well, we will. We will do a U-turn.
You don't want to leave the listeners with that mental.
No, we won't. I will quickly put the handbrake on and quickly U-turn it into your Hirschsprungs, beginning of Hirschsprungs video, which I loved as well. I thought was fantastic. Your explanation of Hirschsprungs, which really should have been my first episode. So if I could just re-record that as you and then re-record it as first episode, that would be so much better than me rambling on for 8 minutes, 43 seconds and saying not a lot.
But there's so much to it, isn't there? Like, it's quite complex, and I find it difficult to talk about, to be honest. Like when people say, what is it? Think, right, ganglion cells, stomas, washouts, rectal biopsy. You know, like, there's so many things that go through your head. And first of all, do you find most people can't say Hirschsprungs? And then when people can say it, they're like, how do you spell it? And that's people in the medical world, you know, it's...
Yeah, yeah. So for the, where people might also hear this, is on UK Health Radio. Who else I work for. And the person who runs that said to me, no idea what that is. Is it Danish?
Oh, no,
he said, is it German? And it's Danish.
Harold would be turning in his grave right
now. He was. But yeah, he said, is it German? I went, no, Danish, close. But yeah, so, but people, even people in the medical field, as you said, haven't heard of it.
Yeah.
They don't know what it is. So it's down to you and I, I'm afraid.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, that's a challenge we all have to accept till the day we die.
Fantastic. But thank you. Thank you ever so much for coming on tonight. It's been an absolute pleasure. And just finally as well, because I know you've done several podcast episodes of something called Beyond the Pouch. Would you like to just very quickly...
Yeah. Yeah, so my friend Louise and I, we interview people similar to what you do, but it's ostomy related. So it is with Ekin Healthcare. And yeah, we just have people on that it's the same philosophy as you, sharing their stories and just connecting people. And yeah, like just the way you say what you get out of it, it's the same for me. I mean, I love a chat. You seem to love a chat. And when it's about something you're passionate about and you connect with new people and they have the same thoughts and feelings, it's magic can happen. And yeah, I love it. Love it, love it.
I think it's fantastic. And it's on YouTube as well. Where else can people find it?
So Spotify and YouTube for all my sins. So yeah, it is on there. But maybe go on Spotify first and then mentally prepare yourself to watch YouTube.
No, I watched the full video version today actually, and I thought
when I started it, if the people who've watched it from the start, when I started, I wasn't pregnant. And then we carried on doing these episodes right up until a month before I was due. And I'm expanding and expanding. And it's hilarious because you can see me getting bigger and bigger every episode. And there's no hiding, Tom, from a professional videographer in there. They capture it all. So at least I can say to the baby, oh, you're on YouTube. Yeah, that was you before the womb. Yeah,
that was the start of your career.
Yes. Yeah. If he's famous, he owes me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know we've spoken about your Instagram as well. Where can people find your Instagram?
So it's gutsy.mum. And yeah, the last thing I'd want to say really is just if my inbox is always open, I will not reply straight away, but I will reply. And for anyone that is feeling alone and they just want to connect with someone, it doesn't even have to be a full-blown conversation. Even if you just want to send an emoji or just ask a question, anything, you don't need to feel pressured to keep going and spark a conversation. Just if you want to reach out, I am there. So yeah, just don't feel alone.
Fantastic. That's a wonderful sentiment to finish on. But just from me, thank you so, so much for coming on. I know, as I said at the beginning, you were someone who I've wanted on from the start, and it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. So thank you so, so much.
Oh, it's been lush. Thank you for having me, Tom.
Thank you for listening to the Hirschsprungs Hour on UK Health Radio. You can find me on Facebook under Tom's Hirschsprungs Podcast or Instagram on Tom's_Hirschsprungs_podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll bring you another episode soon.